What is going on, everybody? Jamie Shaw here on the Absolute Basketball Podcast. Very excited for today's episode. We have Walter Shaw, head coach at Brunswick Community College. Very excited for you guys to get to hear about Walter's path, about Walter, what he's been doing these last 20 years. As the head coach at Brunswick Community College, how he's brought it up to where it is and the kids that he's putting into college and what he's been doing for the community down there and stuff. Very, very excited, very interested for you guys to hear. And if you would, please, before we get into it, go ahead, subscribe to the podcast, rate us 5 stars, leave in the comment below what you enjoyed most hearing about Walter and his path and what he's going and the vision of the program. Thank you guys very much. Again, rate, subscribe, review. And without further ado, here is Walter Shaw, head coach, Brunswick Community College, with Jamie Shaw on the Absolute Basketball Podcast. Thank you. What is going on, everybody? Jamie Shaw here on the Absolute Basketball Podcast. Very excited to have Brunswick Community College head coach Walter Shaw on with us today. Walter, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jamie. Thanks for inviting me to the family reunion.
I hear you, man. I hear you, Uncle Walter. How are you handling this this pandemic and all that type of stuff? How are things going with you down on the coast?
I'm doing okay. You know, I have three young children at home, and was watching them and helping them get through the rest of their school year. I'm an instructor on our campus as well. So, you know, we were working with students and trying to get their work done and transition to online learning, and also getting our guys what they needed and getting them the resources to be able to do that as well. We had quite a few guys who were cycling out of our program and had to make a transition academically at the last minute with a lot at stake. So that, you know, just making sure we have the necessary communication to make sure that happened and get them where they need to go.
So 24 years ago, you were brought on to Brunswick Community staff as a 19-year-old assistant under Coach Gene Doan. You were a student manager at UNC, or at the time you were a student at UNCW. You were previously a student manager under Coach Jerry Wainwright. Still young and everything. At the time, what was your vision?
Well, that's a unique story in the fact that my senior year in high school, the coach, Coach Doan, came to our high school and met with all the seniors. You know, our coach had us all in a room and said there was going to be basketball at Brunswick Community College. I was already slated to go to UNCW. I thought I was going to be a high school coach, high school teacher. I'd already made arrangements to be the manager on the team. I'd attended camp there ever since the sixth grade. Our coach was good friends with the coaching staff there. We had some players in our program in high school, a couple guys that went on actually to bigger than UNCW. We had a guy named John Jocks who went up going to Georgetown, and we had Bubakar All, who was a teammate of mine, who went on to Georgetown. And so, you know, we were always at UNCW. I went on to UNCW. A couple of my high school teammates went on to Brunswick to be in their first recruiting class. During my year as the manager at UNCW, I was able to my job was to open the gym for Brunswick, because Brunswick didn't have a facility at the time. It was about 35 minutes away. And so they would come up and practice. And because I had a relationship with those guys, and it made it a little easier for me to just want to hang out with them. And Coach Doan didn't have an assistant. And at the end of that year, I asked him, could I help? And I was going to, you know, try to transition out of the managerial role. And Coach Wainwright told me I could either go help out over at the high school with Coach Sheila Bowles at Hoggard, or I could, see what this thing with Brunswick was going to do. And I started hanging out with Brunswick. I guess I got the keys to a car pretty early, and it's been a fun ride.
So at 19 years old, you know, your ability to coach on the floor, your ability to recruit, break down film and stuff, that's invaluable lessons and everything. But how – again, you were 19. You were the same age, if not younger, than a lot of the kids on the team, a lot of the kids you're recruiting and going after and stuff. How did that go?
It was good in the fact that one, I could identify with them a lot. And when you're a coach and you're trying to get guys to do something, it's best that it's good when you can identify with them. One of the lessons that I learned very early was making sure you bring in what your coach wants you to bring in. Making sure the players are not playing for you, they're playing for your head coach. After my first year there, I was just learning. And then after that is when I basically got the keys to go recruit everybody in the program.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's been fun, but one of the things that I try to do is, you know, go to different pockets of the state, find different guys, and make sure they came here and had a successful, successful career. That way I always had to go back and have a good reference point to someone who came here and was successful. You know, I learned a lot, not only from Coach Doan, who when he came to Brunswick, he actually retired from being the all-time high school coaching win leader in North Carolina. But he, you know, I was still on campus at UNCW. So I had a lot of big-time names and minds there that were still willing to help me. You know, I had, you know, Coach Wainwright was the head coach. Brad Brownell was the third assistant on that team in the program at the time. You had my classmate was, you know, Brad, you know, my classmate was Billy Donlin, who's the head coach at UMKC. Had Mark Byington, who was there with us as well. Had Marty Jarman, who came in while I was there, who was the new AD at UCLA. You know, you had Lamont Franklin, who was in the program at the time, who's down in Miami on staff there. You know, there were a lot of guys, you know, Gannon Baker had just cycled out of, just graduated, but it was back working out all the time in the gym, you know. So, you know, and I'd been around that program so long, so I got to know a lot of those guys, even though I was younger than them. So, you know, I got to, you know, meet Coach Kevin Eastman when he was coaching there, and you know, so, you know, working, I even got to work camp while I was in high school. So, you know, there was a lot of guys there, and they were willing to help me. You know, I was a junkie. I asked a lot of questions. I learned very early that the key to a successful coach is the players. And if you can have good players, you can camouflage a lot of your issues. And one thing about a junior college, it allows you to work on your craft while you learn.
So you mentioned your time at East Columbus High School. You were a four-sport letterman at East Columbus. What was it about basketball that drew you to it?
Well, basketball was always my love. I always thought I was going to grow up and be Charles Barkley. you know, I mean, my passion for basketball came from my mom. She played ball in high school and a little bit in college, and she, you know, was an elementary school teacher for almost 40 years. I had an uncle who was a high school coach. I mean, basketball was just what galvanized our community. You know, and I'm from a small one-stop light town in Columbus County, North Carolina, halfway between Whiteville and Wilmington, is a town called Riegelwood. Some major roads drive through there, but not much really there. So, I mean, that's, you know, basketball, what a lot of kids could do to get together, you know, learn to love it. I started reading a whole bunch about it. As I started getting a little older, I started learning a lot more about it. I had a cousin who played for DeMatha up in D.C. or in the Maryland area, and he'd come down for the summers, and then we would go drive to watch him play AAU when they would come to Charlotte. And he went on to play at Manhattan College, led them to the NCAA tournament. So, you know, from that, you know, I was just like, oh, there's more to this than what we know here in the country. And, you know, so getting a, such an early start and being a junkie and reading everything, people kind of called me the basketball encyclopedia because I just studied the game, studied movements in the game, studied, you know, when NBA players would get traded, I know when, where. You know, and as it started going through colleges, you know, my team was Carolina, still is UNC, you know, and that was because we had three channels in our rural area. And at 11 o'clock, I was trying to get out of so I can go watch the Dean Smith show. So that was kind of my where my passion came from. And I just saw there was a lot of guys in our area that you know, could the game. And, you know, opportunities really weren't there for them. So when I got that platform, I just wanted to try to, you know, use it to help many guys like me.
And that's interesting, too, because a lot of guys who are players when they're younger, they want to go to the NBA, go, you know, D1, all this type of stuff. You seem to want to get into coaching early, you know, being a student, going to – instead of going to play, you went to Wilmington to be a manager, and then you coach at 19 and all kinds of stuff. How did you parlay your love for basketball into a coaching route so early?
Well, I mean, it was just an opportunity that was afforded to me in a place that needed me. You know, and we always talk about being ready when you get your chance. I mean, after my time, hanging out with Brunswick's coach and Brunswick's team, just opening and closing the gym at the end of that year, Coach Doan had his team set to go play in the summer league. And back then, the teams could do that. And there was a summer league in Wilmington that a lot of people played in, the Martin Luther King League. It's been documented in Michael Jordan documentaries and things of that nature. And he said, you coach the team. Mm-hmm. He said, I may show up every other game, you know, and sit in the stands, but you got it. Yep. So basically he wanted his team to play. He was an older coach. He didn't have anybody to help coach the team. So I did it. And like I said, I was able to, you know, make some decisions that looked pretty good. And he's like, hey, you know, you might be ready to do this. And he always had confidence in me, mm-hmm. You know, because I asked a lot of questions. I had that passion. And a lot of people wanted to make sure that I succeeded. Because, you know, I treated people the right way. I was very respectful, you know, and I always found myself in the right places. I always wanted to go where other people wouldn't go. Mm-hmm. Even at 19 years old, you know, I'm driving up to Charlotte, which my younger brother ended up being a manager at UNC Charlotte, with Coach Watkins, Coach Lutz. And he met Coach Watkins when UNC Charlotte came to play at UNCW when I was a manager. At that time, I would go up and stay in his dorm. And try to work Prep Stars, which was on their campus. And then I'd work UNC Charlotte camp, try to know as many people as possible. Even had to make my own t-shirts. I didn't have them at the time. You know, but I was, you know, out recruiting and nobody, you know, knew the difference. They just thought I was a young guy, you know, around, talk to everybody, trying to be a mover and shaker, trying as much and trying as many players as I could. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that Coach Wayne, one of those guys, I needed to do. And I had them do, you know, as an assistant. And so, and I found myself in that circle when a lot of junior college coaches weren't. And that's been my thing. I try to be somewhere where the other junior college coaches aren't. And I think you saw me last time at an event that you had, and I was probably the only junior college coach in the building. You know, so that's, you know, that's kind of been what my thing is. You know, I'm trying to be where the others are, and hopefully connections through communication will allow us to somehow get a player or be established a relationship with someone who others may not be able to.
So you accepted the head coaching position at 23 years old, and you're only the second head coach in the history of Brunswick Community College. When you took over, the school had not had a winning season yet. You've quickly turned that around. What legacy are you building both for yourself and for the program at Brunswick Community College in your time there so far?
Well, you know, I wanted to find one of the things I wanted to do is develop a system where people realize that junior college is a viable option in this part of the country. I think we've led the way for a lot of things that have happened in my time here. When I came here, my primary goal was to figure out a way to put the program together. Or develop the program to where we can get guys moving on to a four-year college at a higher rate than most people in this part of the country. You know, junior college is a big deal in the Midwest, big deal down in Florida. Wasn't really a big deal in North Carolina or the Carolinas at the time, during the time mm-hmm. when I took over. It had kind of gone through a metamorphosis. Were private schools that were then turning four-year, were part of the junior college cycle. And so there were now community colleges jumping on the scene in the community college world. So what I wanted to do is, you know, develop a system, develop a program that's going to be recognized on a national scale, that's going to be talked about year-round, not just for what the work we do during the season, but for our guys moving on, being successful, and carrying the flag for our program to programs all across the country. And for, you know, high school coaches and, you know, travel ball coaches to look at our program as one that is going to do the best thing for the young men, set them up for their future, and not just look at them for the year or 2 years, which we have.
And then, so you posted a graphic the other day on social media titled NCAA D1 Men's Basketball Players from the 22 two-year colleges in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. On that graphic, Brunswick had 46 players. Next up was 22 and then 16, with only four schools having double-figure players put into, you know, into Division I per that graphic. What's the importance of these numbers?
Well, the point for me is that people can see you can play junior college ball in this part of the country and get to the highest level. Mm-hmm. You know, for so long, because of the history of junior college basketball, people feel that you need to go far away to get to the best places. With all the basketball being played here in North Carolina or in the Carolinas, there are, you know, really good options available for young people to stay if they have to go to the junior college route. When I first took over the program, I researched a program out in Iowa. That program was the top program in the country. It had won the junior college championship 97, 98, and 99. Obviously, I was recruiting against some of the recruiting against that program at the time, not knowing what the difference was and why all these North Carolina guys were going out to Iowa. Mm-hmm. Well, I looked at their roster, and half of their roster were Carolina guys, and they went like 89-0, okay, and won three national championships. So I was like, okay, if we can keep the North Carolina guys home, then we could develop a dominant program. Mm-hmm. And so that's what, you know, I sought to do. And with that, through the research I did with them, I tried to find out what was making it to where those kids were wanting to go there and have that kind of success. And it was getting guys graduated, getting them marketed, letting people know that putting out a solid product and the guys are solid citizens, they can get to the top. And so coaches feel like they're gambling on your guy when they take at the next level. Because there are some schools that go with juniors that are slowly going the wayside. Coaches just need to make sure they're a product, a good guy from a program that's reputable, and we can hold the guys to a high standard.
And then last year you sent nine guys. No, I mean, go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
Oh, last no, go year ahead. You sent nine guys to four-year schools, which included Jeremiah Pope to Ryder and Najee Thomas to Hampton. You also had Silas Love, who averaged 20-9 per game last year, who signed a pro contract. What was so special about last year's team?
It was a unique team because we had a lot of guys who people had given up on in different circumstances. And then that's one of the, you know, sometimes we get guys in different, you know, come from different areas and different times. You know, Jeremiah was a guy that was at Fayetteville State. The coach got let go. He wanted to come to junior college and reinvent himself. He had some academic challenges that he had to get taken care of, and we were able to provide him a small enough environment and a tutorial assistance to be able to do that. And, you know, Ryder, you know, got a good one. They got a really good one. You know, Najee was a guy that was a late bloomer, you know, 6'9", 6'10", 40-inch vertical leap, rebounds the heck out of the ball, could run like a deer. But when he came out of 71st High School, he really didn't have many options. And fortunately, we were able to get him because he had family in the area. And so we actually played him 1 year. He started for us, and then he had we actually took a redshirt year to develop his game and develop his body, you know, mature a little bit, and so he could and then he was able to have a dynamite year this year for us. And sometimes people have to, you know, mature at different times, and so that's the one thing that we've been really good at. Make sure guys understand that we want them to be ready when the time comes. The basketball is a game hot name now, and you got to be ready when you have that chance.
And you mentioned guys sitting out and stuff. Obviously, with nine guys going on and then Love going pro, that's a lot of roster turnover. Where you had multiple guys sitting out last year, guys like Dabir Dixon, Jalen Johnson, Cam Fronenberger, Christian Koontz. What are you expecting from these guys as they're kind of the elder statesmen, the leaders of the program now?
Well, the one thing about junior college, you're always going to have roster turnover. Mm-hmm. The good thing about having those guys is they understand what our program stands for, what it's built on, and they all have goals to get to the highest level. And, you know, if they go through our process, they know that they can have that chance to make that happen. So they were in practice every day working on whatever their issues were. You know, Dixon was recovering from an Achilles tear that happened in high school. You know, Jalen Johnson transferred to us from Lenoir Ryan University, and he wants to try to transfer up to Division I. He had some work he had to get done to make that happen, and he's headed in the right direction. And actually, I've heard from an SEC school this week on him. So, and Cam Fronenberger is a guy that actually you gave a good recommendation on last year that kind of walked in my office out of the blue. And I think he's going to be a Division I prospect. So just having those guys who've been in the system, gone through the process, understand what it takes to be here, could tell the next guy. and also have their paperwork in order to where when they have their chance to get recruited, everything lines up, you know, because that, once again, that's the biggest thing. You want to make sure that your transcript, your character, and your game all line up at the same time.
And then with that too, with those guys sitting out, you have a lot of new guys coming in too as well. You have some four-year transfers coming in. You have some high school guys coming in. Guys like Trey Cousin, Brandon Johnson, Cam Spain, Josiah Shackelford, Deontay Petrie, Jace McKinney, A.J. Rossi, Skylar Davies. Pretty good list of players and all that kind of stuff there. What are you expecting? What's the process these guys are going to go through to either, you know, get on the floor, to get on the roster, to make the team? What's the process look like for these guys coming in, as I'm sure they're going to have to fight for minutes because you have talent?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the biggest thing for us is, you know, we share minutes. So, I mean, that's a sacrifice from the beginning. Though we did have two guys this year who averaged 20 points a game, you know, we had quite a few other guys who shared the rest of the minutes. And that's kind of been our claim to fame, I guess you would say. College coaches know kids are going to come out of our program can sometimes put up better numbers at a four-year level than they do for us because they're having to share the minutes that we don't, because we play a lot of bodies. But with these guys, I mean, you know, once again, I like bringing in guys that I think have what they need to get where we want them to go and where they want to go. They can fit the way we do things at Brunswick. So, you know, those guys, the high character guys who are going to have to come in and fight, they know that, but they have the willingness to fight. And that's kind of what we're going to be a blue collar group this year. You know, we're not going to, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how we gel together. You know, the guys know they're going to have to fight, you know, to get time on the floor, but our team is going to have to fight because we're going to play against a lot of talented players. Some of them have bigger names. You know, we're playing a really top schedule this year. We're playing against guys who, I think we're playing seven teams who were nationally ranked at some point during the year, this past year, next year. And we have one guy returning. So it's going to be, we're going to have to bring it from day one. And so we have a lot of guys that people, you know, some people know that can play. Some guys don't know that they can play and they're going to have to make a name for themselves. And that's what we want them to do. We want the guy to be the unheralded guy has to fight, understands he's at the bottom, climbing, and we're going to see who's the last one standing. And sometimes the last one standing is not the guy with the championship trophy. Sometimes it's the guy standing with the D1 offer, getting that scholarship when a lot of the guys fell by the wayside because they didn't follow through what they were supposed to do.
And looking through all these names that I just mentioned, I see 336, I see 910, I see 919, I see 252, I see 704. But they're all, with the exception of Cam Spain, who's from probably 30 minutes up the road from me in Myrtle Beach, they're all North Carolina kids. Is that a point of emphasis for you? I mean, to kind of get all the North Carolina?
Well, that's the goal. I mean, you know, you've seen an explosion in, you know, Carolina basketball on the, you know, Houston in the last few years. A lot of it's happened because of you. So, you know, for years, I tried to get the best guys that I thought had to go to junior college out of North Carolina that, you know, that distance didn't matter. Sometimes schools out of state do have better resources. Their funding structure is different. And, you know, when they're able to fly a guy out from a small town, he thinks that's a big deal. So, therefore, I mean, you don't need to fly to Brunswick County. You know, so therefore, just getting on the plane is enough for them to go. Mm-hmm. You know, they think away is better. So, you know, I've tried to make sure that we had some, you know, guys from different areas. They've had come here and had a lot of success. And they can say, hey, guys, you can come here and be the next guy. You know, and it's worked out really well. I mean, you know, there were a lot of places that we went to, you know, early on in our career that you know, have a lot of players now that are highly coveted. You know, we used to frequent, you know, the 252 a lot. Eastern North Carolina, east of I-95, north of I-40. You know, because that was an area that not many people recruited. Now the whole world exists. You know, we used to, you know, recruit 843 a lot out of South Carolina, east of I-95, you know, down that corridor, you know, the PD area. Now, you know, everybody knows it exists. But until, you know, you grew up there and told the world it was there, and not many people didn't know it existed. So therefore, I was able to go in there and get the best of the best. But now some of the best of the best are going to the NBA even. So, And that's good. I'm glad for those young men because they're in areas that were for a long time under recruited. People told them that they had to leave to make it out of there. And some of them felt the need to do that, but now they're being found. And so, that's what I try to do is try to go into places that all over the state, and have guys come here and be successful. And now we're trying to go back during this pandemic and kind of remarket and rebrand some things to let people know what we have done with those young men. I mean, each year we're just trying to get the best of the best that we can get to fit what we do here at Brunswick. But at the end of the day, now that we can go back and just kind of look back and like, wow, we had, 8 guys, Charlotte, who came here and went Division I and many people from, probably even know that. Or, we had 6 guys from Pitt County in Greenville who came here and went to 4-year and 5 went Division I, and people don't really know that, because as time goes, people change, and then the trainers change or the coaches change, and they don't realize that one guy who came here from that area and was successful, is the guy who came here. Mm-hmm. And so we've kind of done a lot, with that. And like I said, we're trying to rebrand some of that stuff to let the people they know. There are a lot of schools out there, but if you want your kid to come somewhere where there's proven success from people from your area, you may want to look at us.
I think lots of people kind of traditionally have given JUCO a bad rap. A lot of them say it's for the people who can't qualify, the people who have, they're bad kids or whatever the case may be. And I feel like that's really taken a seismic shift in the modern day thinking and all that kind of stuff. What do you say, having been here for 20 years and changed kids' lives, put them in Division I and stuff, what do you say is about the JUCO route and the JUCO programs and JUCO schools for these people out here listening?
Well, the unique part of it is it's just about educating yourself. Once again, JUCO is a new concept in this region of the country. Mm-hmm. So therefore, people have been following high school for years. There have been prep schools that have come and go. Players who've been exposed to junior college have been getting their information, whether it's from 4-year schools that say go to that college, or schools from out in the Midwest or Kansas Midwest or Texas or Florida who've come in and just sold their programs. And that's all the kid knows about junior college is what that one program tells them. So, with the increase of kids wanting opportunities, the marketing that goes out there and everybody wants to dream to get to the next level, a lot of research is now being done. The kids realize that people have come from junior college and been successful. Also, it's a worthwhile avenue to look into because the opportunities to play college ball are fewer and fewer. So as you have guys in the transfer portal, you have more guys in the portal than there are even spots available for them to play. So some of them have to go somewhere. You have guys who realize that, as the economy changed or families realize that it may be just more inexpensive for my young man to go to junior college for a year, very inexpensively, if not free, and then try to get the university paid for a scholarship on the back end. At the end of the day, you get the university degree and you don't owe any money. I think a lot of it has to do with just people being informed, kids realizing the level of basketball that's being played at level, the experience you can get and where you can go once you're there. In this state, for example, we went from one of the smaller regions in the country to the largest region in the country, in the Carolinas and Virginia. And so you actually have multiple levels of Division I. You have Division I, Division II, and Division III junior college basketball being played, which is something that most of the country can't say that happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had the Division III JUCO national champion, the top 5 Division II team in the country, and 2 Division I teams that were ranked in the top 20 all year long. That's not something that would have happened in the past. Now people are realizing, not only are the opportunities level right near us, these teams are good. Mm-hmm. And when you can stack them against those teams, from far away that I hear about, they may even be better. And so I think that has changed the narrative. Having more people like yourself willing to step out and learn about it, realizing it's a good option for kids, realizing, what programs can get the kids to the next level, what programs are good for certain kids, and just providing kids another opportunity to keep playing. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, fewer opportunities, the higher level you go.
You mentioned the transfer portal, and I think that's a big thing, especially in the JUCO world. With the amount of players that are entering the D1, D2 transfer portals, what type of shift are you seeing with the recruitment, or do you foresee the recruitment of the high school senior?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a catch-22 or a double-edged sword from my vantage point. And the reason I say that is, what the higher level you go, the less marketing you get for your individual work that you do. So if you're in high school, you're going to have the likes of a Jamie Shaw, you know, following you on Twitter, and, you know, every offer you get is going to be magnified. You're going to have people filling the stands every night to watch you. You're going to be in all the high profile tournaments. You know, some of those guys get that opportunity to go on to four-year colleges and have that same experience. But then when you are the high school senior and you cycle in, say, to the junior college world, or you're trying to get that four-year college scholarship, you kind of tough, because you have you're getting resistance on both ends. Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting resistance from family that may not want you to go to junior college and not willing to understand what it takes. You have the transfer portal, which is dilute, you know, making the pool a little larger, which and coaches want to get guys who are proven before they get guys that they think may have potential. Now, how does that help us in junior college? The more people that are educated about what we're able to do, not only will we get the best of the high school kid, because some of those guys are going to be left out, we will get the guys off the transfer portal, because they'll realize that, hey, this may be a good option for me to go reinvent myself, get re-recruited, let people know that, hey, the 2 points I scored in D1, it's only because I was playing behind a senior. Not that I can't play anymore, because a year ago I was the same guy and everybody wanted me.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, obviously you've put all these guys into four-year schools. You've won these games. You've done a great job with the program, building it to what it is now. So my question to you is, why Brunswick Community College? Why would a kid go to Brunswick Community College when he has a choice to go anywhere else?
Well, we have a unique situation. One, you have an experienced coaching staff, not only myself, who I'm going into year 25, but I'm relatively young, because as you talked about, I got an early start. So, I mean, I'm 43 years old, been coaching now going into 25 years. I mean, so I kind of listen to some of the same music they do. So that's kind of good. You know, I have an assistant coach been with me 20 years as the head coach. I mean, and so we've been together the same time. I mean, a long time. You know, he played Division I college basketball. He has a son currently playing Division I college ball. Kind of understand what the process is. You know, we have a great location. We're here at the beach. You know, we're right between Wilmington and Myrtle Beach. We still have a coastline, so you can get in the water in 10 minutes, but you don't have to go get in a bunch of traffic to make that happen. You know, we have a small school, 12-1 student-teacher ratio. Everybody knows everyone. We have a track record of success for guys getting on to the next level. We have the people in place to help you do that. And what a lot of guys like, we don't class on Fridays. So you not only you can have access to the beach, you don't have class on Fridays. You have a small class sizes. You have an experienced coaching staff. You know, we went from coaching in our first couple years, not having a facility, practicing at an elementary school, to having the best facility in the region. So we have a 54,000 square feet facility, two indoor pools, an indoor track, you know, top-notch fitness facilities. You know, we have personal trainers on staff. If you want to go learn to swim, we have people there to help you do that. If you want to jump and have an aerobics class, we can do that too. You know, we have, you know, administrative buy-in. So, you know, we try to make sure that our guys understand that it's bigger than basketball, and that a lot of guys here have made it, you know, and that you can go anywhere from here. I mean, I've had, you know, 133 guys move on to four-year colleges in the last 20 years, but those guys have gone to 72 different colleges in 20 states. So, I mean, you can be from North Carolina, you can come here in North Carolina, you know, come here, and then you can get, you know, you can go anywhere from here. And, you know, the one thing that we also do a good job of is we're going to market you. We're going to put you in a situation where, you're going to be a small town guy or unheralded guy that people didn't think could play or thought you had some issues you need to get worked out. When you come to Brunswick, we're going to give you the opportunity to be seen, not only to be seen, but let the world know what you were doing. You know, we have a couple of things we've put in place. I have a newsletter I developed since 2005 that goes to every Division I and Division II coach in the country, head coach and assistant, every couple of weeks, letting them know what's going on via email. I was kind of doing social media before social media, as some coaches have said. Not only that, we have the only junior college jamboree in the Carolinas. So we have teams come together and play in the preseason in front of coaches. I think last year we probably had about 50 coaches in, had about 8 teams. That's how a lot of our guys got seen. Then we also host the only 3-day holiday classic in junior college in the Carolinas. So we have schools coming in from, we've had schools from Florida, Tennessee, Maryland, Virginia, Alabama. This year, actually, in our 11th year of our holiday classic, we will have our first team from New York. Mm-hmm. So that'll be good. So, like I said before, I've tried to do things that other people in junior college weren't necessarily doing in this part of the region, or this part of the country, to try to get these guys that we find, the best opportunity to be seen on a national scale. Because one thing about junior college is, you can get lost. You can get lost because you don't have that marketing arm, that low paper from your own college that's been following you for 5 years. You don't have that, there's always the next high school guy coming. Mm-hmm. And that guy's going to be the most hyped guy there. And so sometimes your work can be forgotten. So we want to make sure we do what we can to make sure you're not only forgotten, but sometimes discovered. And that's what gets us, our guys, to the next level at a higher rate than most people in this part of the country.
That's awesome. Walter, I appreciate you coming on, taking some time with us. It's been fun to watch what you're doing down there, man. And I'm very excited this year, especially to get a little bit more involved with what you're doing down there and stuff, coming to games and practices. And I'll talk to you offline here about this jamboree and this holiday classic too. But I'm very excited to see what you got going and everything. And thanks for taking some time with us.
Well, once again, appreciate the opportunity, especially with the illustrious people you've had on your platform. I really appreciate that you reached out and we were able to connect. Two guys from the beach who have basketball as a passion, which happened to share the last name, and trying to make the world know that basketball is a good thing going on in this part of the country. And so I hope we're able to connect before next year's family reunion and make sure things are going on up and up, not only for you, but for us here at Brunswick.
Absolutely. Guys, thank y'all very much for tuning in on the Absolute Basketball Podcast. For Walter Shaw, I am Jamie Shaw. We'll see you next time.